House Bill 1100 passes both chambers with a veto-proof majority, yet the governor may veto this job-creating bill. Today on Conversations with Clint, we have State Representative Aaron Coffer, the prime sponsor of House Bill 1100. It's an honor to have the prime sponsor of House Bill 1100 joining us today, Representative Aaron Coffer. Representative Coffer represents the 120th district, which is in Luzerne County. Is that right?
That's right.
And Aaron has been serving for a long time. Well, not so long. I mean, what, you're in your third term, right?
Yes, my sixth year where I'm just starting here. But yes, third term.
That's great. And you serve on the House Finance, Gaming Oversight, Health. I get to join you on Health, which is great, and Transportation. And it's one of your big priorities, Representative Coffer, is economic development. I know that's something that you continue to work for and look for ways to see some economic growth here in the state of Pennsylvania. So welcome today. I'd love to talk with you about House Bill 1100. Take us back to where this started. I mean, you've been working on this for over a year, right?
Yeah. So this actually started, it was a blizzard going on in Harrisburg, actually. And there was really nothing that was going on because there was no, people couldn't drive, people couldn't go anywhere. And so
we're stuck.
We ended up having, we were stuck. You're exactly right. And so we ended up having this roundtable discussion over at the Chamber of Commerce, and the Speaker of the House put this together of having a few people there from the chemical industry, from the gas industry, from business groups in general, talking about what the next play for Pennsylvania is going to be in regard to natural gas. Yep. Obviously, we've had a lot of the drilling already for the upstream. The pipelines are being built out for that midstream. But what can we do here for downstream? And my background is in international economics. U.S.-Chinese economics is my specialty that I went to school for. And it's about how can we compete in an international market with people like China and manufacturing with such low wages. And it's taking advantage of natural resources that we have, like our natural gas in northeastern right. Pennsylvania and across the northern tier in your area. And so it's how do we take advantage of this? So part of this roundtable was what can we do? And, you know, this was an idea that came forward about manufacturing using natural gas, replicating what has already been done in western Pennsylvania with a cracker plant, the Shell cracker plant in Beaver County.
Let's talk
and
about
let's
that.
Let's try to do something similar for Northeast.
Exactly. I mean, let's talk about that a little bit. What is going on over there in Beaver County? I mean, I remember going to this roundtable discussion and really trying to look at, you know, what possibilities there are. But I think we were able to see, you know, over in Beaver County, what's going on. Talk a little bit about that and the economic development that's going on there.
Yeah, so this bill, House Bill 1100, is mirrored after the bill that brought the cracker plant to Beaver. Now, what that is, it's a $6 billion investment. That's with a B.
Wow.
$6 billion invested into Monaca, Pennsylvania and Beaver County. Wouldn't be on the map or you wouldn't hear about it unless of this project going on. And it's really incredible. And you have every day, there are 6,500 to 7,000 people working there every single day build this $6 billion facility. And so they have over 100 cranes. Some of the largest cranes in the world are all working there. It's the largest construction site in North America. With that many people working, it is a huge boom to our economy here in Pennsylvania as a whole. We are seeing the benefits of this type of stuff. Now, once this plant comes online, now you talk about the other opportunities, because what they're doing is they're taking out some of the products that are in the wet gas, the ethane gas out in western Pennsylvania, to actually manufacture using those goods. It's truly an incredible project. And we're trying to do the same thing for our dry gas that we have in the northern tier in northeastern Pennsylvania.
Right. So one of the products, the byproducts of this wet gas out there is plastics. And that's what they're going to be doing. And that's what this cracker plant does. And it's interesting. We have a couple of factories here in the 68th district that are hopefully going to be able to purchase plastic from there and not have to haul it nearly as far. So we have all this natural gas here in Pennsylvania, and we're trying to figure out ways to create manufacturing and out of some of the byproducts of this resource that we have. And House Bill 1100 really has the potential to be an economic powerhouse for northeastern and north central Pennsylvania. Talk a little bit about the some of the byproducts and what we'd be looking to do, or some of the potentials with House Bill 1100.
Yeah, so some of the big things that you can do with the dry gas that we have are ammonia, urea, and methanol. Those are really some of the big opportunities that we have here. Now, when it comes to ammonia, we get a lot of our ammonia from overseas and our fertilizers. So what this has the opportunity to do is to be a major fertilizer hub. So once again, you were talking about how some of the areas in your district are going to benefit from the plastics that are going to be produced from the wet gas. You know, with our ability to make ammonia and make fertilizer now here, you know, we're importing our fertilizer from all around the world. This is our opportunity to be the fertilizer hub for not only, you know, the United States, but North America even more, and start exporting this to other countries as well. This is a huge opportunity. And when you talk, the bill has a requirement. We're talking about you have to have at least an investment of $450 million. You have to have at least 800 jobs that are associated with this. And they're talking about more than one of these. There's one being talked about in Clinton County right now. There's looking at spots as well as Susquehanna County and in other regions as well. Anywhere where this dry gas is, of potentially doing something like this. So we're talking about billions of dollars that could potentially be invested here in our area. And I'm very confident if this bill is signed into law, we will see well over $1 billion of investment in northeastern Pennsylvania.
And we're talking jobs here. I mean, these folks are, they want to come in, they want to utilize the gas that we have to create these products, which is great. But then the jobs and the economic development that comes from that. I mean, how many jobs did you say? It was like 600 jobs?
It's a minimum of 800 jobs. Minimum of 800 jobs. And they're talking, you know, at least three or four at a minimum, you know, which is interesting. Right. At least three or four of these to be made. So you're talking just off the bat there, you know, let's say it's three. That's 2,400 jobs that we're talking about. And these are permanent full-time jobs that are associated with these types of projects. So
and good paying jobs.
Economic boom that we would have is once in a lifetime. What'd you say?
I said, and good paying jobs. These would be
that's exactly
phenomenal
right.
jobs for people. And right now we see people leaving the state of Pennsylvania at record rates, and that is it's really hard on our tax base, and the ripple effect of that is astonishing. But then to see an economic driver like this, where all of a sudden, man, folks from all over different states throughout the country are going to be looking at establishing roots here in our communities across the Northeast, man, that just gets so exciting. So walk us through where we're at in this process. I remember we voted on this bill in the House several months ago, sent it over to the Senate. Talk about the vote in the House a little bit. It's kind of funny. We joke about this, but sometimes when there's a hard vote, some folks that don't want to take that vote and they don't want to go on the record, they all of a sudden get a tummy ache, which is very interesting to me, right? And all of a sudden go on leave, and that way they don't have to vote on this, but which is kind of interesting to me. I mean, that's what our job is. We, you know, sometimes we have to take the hard votes, but that's what we're being paid to do, and that's what people represent us to do. but talk about that first vote a little bit in the House.
Yeah, the first vote, you know, it was 139-46, and there were actually 18 people who did not take a vote on that for whatever reason. And I know there's certainly a variety of reasons, but, you know, we got this bill across with a veto-proof majority the first time in the House. And, you know, having 139 positive votes with, you know, almost every single Republican on that first vote and a lot of Democrats on it, it was very, very good to get it over with that much oomph behind it.
Yeah.
You know, there was a lot of support from all sorts of groups as well, besides the legislators, of having, you know, the Chamber of Commerce on board, the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, as well as groups like the Statewide Building Trades. We had the Earth Conservancy even on board with this. It's really a well thought out bill, and a lot of time and effort went into this. And so, you know, we got this through, you know, the House back in September. And then, you know, we're trying to get this up and going. And, you know, to get this done and across the finish line. So, you know, it's over in the Senate. The Senate did some amendments in it to change some of the thresholds. You know, it was $1 billion and 1,000 jobs. It came down to $450 million and 800 jobs based on what we were hearing from the industry and what we're hearing. And so there was an agreed to amendment amongst all the stakeholders that had put some input into this to lower that threshold so that we can really hook in these manufacturers into northeastern Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
So when the Senate took up this vote the second time, you know, the first time for the Senate, I should say, it passed 39-11. 10 of the 21 Democrats voted for it. Every Republican voted for it. Then it came back on concurrence to the House, where once again, every Republican voted for it. Over 50 Democrats voted for it. And we had 157 to 35 in the House on our final vote. So, you know, this bill is on its way to the governor's desk, and fingers crossed, I hope he will sign this and realize the impact that this has, not only just in northeastern Pennsylvania, but for the entire Commonwealth.
Yeah, and not very often do we have such bipartisan support on a single piece of legislation. I mean, sometimes you get a little bit of bipartisan support, but man, this one, Aaron, has just been, you know, overwhelming. I mean, 157 to 35 that's a great deal for everybody. I mean, everybody sees what this potentially could be for the state of Pennsylvania. So now it's sitting. We passed it on concurrence, which means we have basically what that means for the folks that may not understand what that means. We ran in the House, went over to the Senate. They made a couple changes, so we have to concur any of the changes that they make. So we concurred with the changes that they make, and then it goes to the governor. And Aaron, how does that work? How long does the governor have to either sign it, veto it, or what else could happen there?
Yep. So what happened now is that based on the timing, the bill has not actually gone to the governor's desk yet. It will, because it's already been concurred upon, but it has not been read across the Senate desk yet. So it has not actually gone to his desk. It the next day that the Senate is in session, it will be sent to the governor's desk. But it is waiting to actually go to his desk. Now, the next day that the Senate's in session, which I'm not exactly sure when that is, he will have 10 days to make a decision. So he can either sign the bill, he can veto the bill, or if he waits past 10 days, the bill automatically goes into law. Now, the governor has before, when we first started working on this bill, and it almost went into the budget last year, the governor sent out that he was fully supportive of this, and he told our building trades, he told people that he supported this initiative and was behind it 100%, fully supported it.
That's
and now,
great.
the day before we voted on this, he sent out a message to one of the newspapers that he was going to veto this bill, which was met with outrage from everybody from the entire business community to the building trades. And it, what an interesting group of people we have supporting this of all across Pennsylvania, recognizing the massive impact this will have, not only, once again, not on just the regional economy of the northern tier in northeastern Pennsylvania, but all of the Commonwealth. And so, you know, it's nice to see it. And people were outraged. And so this bill hasn't gone to his desk yet. I know that there's a lot of people who are reaching out, encouraging the governor to back down from the veto, to fully consider what this means and what's included in this bill. And I truly believe that that you know, it was just a knee-jerk reaction that the governor has not had the opportunity to fully review what's going on here. But if the governor should veto this, I really believe that we are going to try. We had veto-proof majorities already in the House and Senate, and if need be, we will do our best to override that veto.
Exactly, and that's not the end of it. If he vetoes it, I mean, we've got the numbers. You know, not always do we have the numbers to override a veto, but certainly we do on this in the House and the Senate. And that would be such a good stance. I mean, we have the opportunity to work together towards a project here, all three branches right here, right? Or, you know, we could do this together, but at the same, it needs to get done. And hopefully we don't have to go down that road, but I think we need to if he does veto it.
Yeah, and I have already communicated with our leadership, with both Speaker Terzai and with Leader Cutler, should the governor veto this, we need to be ready to go down the path of a veto override. And with the, you know, big numbers that we had already, you know, we have to make sure that this gets done, because this is truly a generational, transformative bill and transformative initiative that will truly change Pennsylvania.
Right.
You know, in my time in office, this is by far the biggest measure I have ever worked on that will have the biggest impact on the Commonwealth. I'm excited to be the guy who's led the charge on this. But, you know, we need to now see this through to fruition. It's on its way to the governor's desk. He needs to realize that this needs to happen. And to be honest, we have gotten letters from companies who want to invest. I mean, I'm looking at a letter right now from Ellis Energy, who in the letter, they say, we project $450 million in investment and the creation of 800 jobs during construction and operation of the facility. This is from a CEO. Their company is located out of Connecticut, looking to invest in specifically in Pennsylvania. As I mentioned before, there's another separate company who is looking to do a project in Clinton County.
Yeah.
So this is truly a huge opportunity. Multiple companies all starting to notice Pennsylvania and say, you know, we're sending to the business community out there. We're open for business. We want your investment, and we want the jobs and long-term interests here in Pennsylvania, all moving forward together.
Well, you better realize too, you know, Representative Al is going to be standing on his chair hoping to get a few of these businesses here. I'm going to be waving the 68th district flag saying, come on down, we'll take you. We'd love to have you here. And one of the things that we didn't talk about, and we can just touch on this briefly, is these facilities need to be on brownfield sites. So it's not on a green site. It's not new construction on a new site. These literally are designed to go on a site that a manufacturing site that most likely has all the utilities there to utilize those facilities, right?
Yeah, that is certainly some of the draw of this.
Yeah.
I mean, yes, they could. This could be done on something else, but that's really not what the interest is of anyone. Is these brownfield sites of having those utilities, as you mentioned, is really what the companies are looking for
right
already. Now, they're willing to build, if they need to build a bigger pipeline or something like that to a project like this, they're willing to work on that and to get that done. But really, you know, with the larger manufacturing that already exists, you know, that's what they would have a lot of those utilities there and want to do already. So,
right.
I mean, this, like I said, this is a huge opportunity, and you know, this type of stuff of transforming businesses that we've lost to due to international economics, due to changes in the times, that we're putting them back in business. And you know, this is really thinking ahead and thinking forward of what Pennsylvania, what we can do here to grow our economy for the long term.
Well, thank you, Aaron, for your leadership on this. Let's hope the governor sees the light on House Bill 1100 and we can see some of this amazing economic development north of Route 80. That's what we're all fighting for, our communities. And I really appreciate your leadership on this, Aaron. It's been great to work with you on this and see your passion behind it. And your dedication is one of the reasons that this is not giving up, you know, that this has yep made it as far as it has. And hopefully we can get this taken care of.
Well, it's a team effort. And thank you for your support of this type of initiative and getting this stuff done, because it's members like you and myself who fight to make these things happen. It doesn't happen by itself. It takes advocacy. It takes working with people. And, you know, thank you for your support, because without people like you and across our state, you know, this thing doesn't happen. So thank you for your advocacy as well, Clint.
Oh, well, you're exactly right. We got to work together. So, all right. Thank you, Aaron. I really appreciate it. Hope you have a great day. My final question for you is this. Are you a lot of snow kind of guy or absolutely no snow kind of guy? Because we're getting pounded here in Tioga, Bradford, Potter County today.
Well, as we had some snow squalls going on before. It looks like it died down. I'm looking out the windows of my office right now. It looks like it's died down now, but not much snow. It seems it's not even accumulating here. So it looks like hopefully it won't be too bad here in Luzerne County.
Yeah, but do you like snow? That's my question. Like, would you prefer to have a foot of snow or no snow?
Well, if I say I would prefer a foot of snow, my wife would kill me. So I better say no snow for the happiness of my lovely bride.
You are a wise man. Well, thank you, Aaron. I hope you have a great rest of the week here. So that's today's conversation with Clint. I hope that this has helped you understand House Bill 1100 just a little bit more and give you a glimpse into a specific topic or bill here in the 68th District and how it would really affect not only us, but the whole Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Again, thank you for the opportunity to serve and represent you in Harrisburg. Look forward to chatting with you next week.